and your voice very loud. We give you all glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So, yes, God is good. Also, I just want to warn you that sometimes you'll hear this, because I'm not used to speaking with a microphone. Normally, I'm in the back with the kids. So, here we go. 10,000 hours. That's how long it takes for someone to become skillful at their craft, whether it is a musician or an athlete. Inborn talent is not enough to achieve the level of expertise that they would eventually attain. They need to immerse themselves in their craft every day. Okay, ready? So when I first got saved, I was very passionate for God because I was 40 when I got saved. I didn't know anything about God. So all this new stuff, I was clueless. I had to dive in. I had to learn what the truth was, what the new truth that I had to learn was. I had a hunger that I needed to feed. My entire life had been turned upside down, and so I had to immerse myself in what was going on. I would spend countless hours at the church, bugging my pastors in Edson. I had a job. I was a salesman, so I could travel and do things as long as my numbers were good. My boss was happy. So I could spend a lot of time at the church. My pastors got to know me really well. They answered my questions. They helped me grow in my faith. They probably didn't get a lot of work done because I was always there drinking their coffee. So, but I learned. I learned to research. I learned to read the scriptures and dive into it, figure out what was happening. So for me, things like evolution and creation were big ones because I'd always been taught evolution. I'd never even thought to ask any questions about evolution. So I started asking questions, and I researched it, and I found out, what does Scripture say about it? What does my faith say about it? What does I want to believe? What do I want to see? What did God want to show me from this? Healings. Anybody in here been healed from something ever? Come on. I know it is right there. That's right. But I had to research it. I had to find out, because I have friends who are Calvinists who don't believe in healings for our time. They believed in it for the first century, for early Christians, not for us. So I had to research it. I had to dive in. One of the fun ones that I used to, and as a youth pastor, because I also look after the youth here, Winston will attest to this, we get asked about things like tattoos. And I jokingly say, well, Jesus had a tattoo. And everybody goes, what? Where? Show me that in Scripture. So Leviticus 19:28 tells us, you shall not make any cuts on your body for the dead or tattoo yourselves. I am the Lord. Pretty clear. No marks. Revelation 19:16, that's where I get, does Jesus have a tattoo? On his robe and on his thigh are written the name King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Does that mean he has a tattoo? I doubt it. But they don't have Jiffy markers, so just saying. We got to study it, find out, dig into it, find out. Don't listen to me. I'm learning. You're about to find out. I have not spent 10,000 hours being a Christian. One thing I did find out about tattoos, though, which I did find interesting, I listened to a podcast, and he was saying that God wants his people to be set apart, different from everybody else that's out there. First century, everybody, every culture, every nation, every color, every tribe had markings. Whether it was ink tattoos, whether it was cutting, whatever it was, but they all did it for religious reasons, for fertility reasons, for all kinds of different reasons, but they wanted to be marked for their tribe, for their nation. God said no tattoos. He wanted it so that people coming in to Jerusalem, to Israel, could look and go, they're different. Because it's a visible, very clearly, you can see someone doesn't have a tattoo. He had another way that he told people to be set apart, but that's not a way you want to be walking around and showing everybody. So, they would stand out in a crowd and be set apart. As I'm doing this, I'm starting to realize that my passion, my love for Jesus has kind of waned. It's kind of slowed down. So where is my passion? Where is my heart for Jesus? COVID hit, and we spend a lot of time drinking coffee, trying to figure out what the heck, what are we doing? We got no church. We got people have to stay home. We spent a lot of time just figuring out our lives, what was going to happen here. I started to wonder, have I become stale? Or worse yet, am I content with where I'm at in my faith? I mean, I'm a pastor. That's pretty good. God's pretty happy. But I started thinking about Paul. So Acts verse 9. Oop. If you want to turn there. And we look at Paul's life. Here was a guy that was the Jew of Jews. He was a rock star. He was that guy with the guitar. He was the Wayne Gretzky of Jews. He knew everything there was to know about being a Pharisee. He wanted to be the best of the best. He hungered for it. People like Wayne Gretzky hunger to be the best of the best. They do things. I couldn't find many stats on Wayne Gretzky, but I remember talking to my dad. He was a golfer. My dad loved golf. He talked about Arnold Palmer. Arnold Palmer, one of the great golfers. He would hit 1,200 dozen golf balls a day. 14,400 golf balls every day. Dedication, immersion into his sport. He wanted to be the best. Any basketball fans here? Come on, basketball fans. I'm a family pastor. I need people to interact with. Come on. Thank you, putting your hands up. I appreciate that. I checked out LeBron James. He's a good basketball player, right? Yes, he's a good basketball player. He practices so much. 165 baskets from every point on the court. He doesn't just throw them. He has to sink them. 165 baskets. How many points on the court are there? There's lots. There's not just a couple. He has dedication and complete immersion into his craft. So I thought, again, getting back to you as a Christian, where am I at? What have I done? So I thought, okay, Bible school. There's a lot of time spent at Bible school. Personal study time, which I'm going to inflate because I can. And time in class is pretty it's pretty cut and dry. I really didn't study as much as I'm going to tell you. And then cramming for tests, I'm going to say I didn't cram as much as I did, but I did cram a lot. And I figured it out to be 1,500 hours in 4 years. That's nowhere near 10,000 hours. Like, that's minimal. That's just barely scratching the surface. I need to go a lot more and a lot deeper to gain my 10,000 hours to become skillful at being a Christian. Saul practiced his craft every day. He was the best at what he did. And that didn't change when he went from being a Jew and a Pharisee to becoming a Christ follower. When he got saved and had his moment with Jesus on the Damascus Road, he dove into his new faith. His world had been turned upside down and completely changed. But he embraced it and dove into it. Is there, like, I know I'm really competitive. My wife and I can't ever be on opposite teams because we have way too much intense fellowship because we're both way too competitive. So we always have to play together. But is there competitive people in here? Come on, thank you. Thank you. I was waiting for you to put your hand up. Actually, Winston is actually in my sermon here, so I have it right here. Hockey. My cousin is a fanatic when it comes to hockey. Now, I'm sorry to say he's a Flames fan, but he knows everything there is to know about the Calgary Flames from the time they started right up till today. That's his craft, because he immerses himself in it. He can tell you any stat off the top of his head. I know Winston, he is going to be a personal trainer, So anything to do with exercise and health and weightlifting, and you ask Winston, he can tell you. He just knows it off the top of his head. And our youth group is changing, thanks to Winston, because we now have healthy treats, and we drink a lot more water than we used to. Can someone tell me John 1:1? Can you quote it? Amen. What's John 1:5? It's okay. I had to look it up too. That's okay. In the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. What about Genesis 1:1? People, come on. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How about this one? Tell me where this is in the Bible. God helps those who helps themselves. Where is it? It's not there. Good one, Sheila. Awesome. That's right, it's not in the Bible. My point is that we need to study Scripture. My dad always told me, this was in the Bible, cleanliness is next to godliness. We didn't even have a Bible, but I believed him. So, because I didn't know. But these are things that we have to dive into. We have to know. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. If we are new creations, we all need to be studying more. We need to find out what we are, who we are. Who is Christ in us? What has God called each of us to be? Tent maker, evangelist, mechanic, mom, dad? From the book of Colossians, starting at 3, verse 1, all the way down to 4 verse 6. I'm not going to read it all, but I'm going to highlight some things. It gives us a good look at what we are to do, how we are to live our lives, and what are some things we can do to help us become better Christians. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. That's a good list of things that maybe we need to change in our heart. This is a good one to study, husbands and wives together. Wives, submit to your husbands as it is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh with them. Study it, learn it, understand it. It's probably not what you think. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And at the same time, your job, pray for us as pastors, Marissa, Danny, myself, our families. Pray for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders. Make the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. It doesn't mean be a doormat, but it means trust the Lord to give you the words to speak to people who are contradictory. I had the honor and privilege of being at Ernest Hunter's funeral last weekend. For those of you that don't know, that's Pastor Beatrice's dad. And hearing the testimonies of his children and grandchildren was powerful. It convicted me. He was so dedicated to Jesus. Here's a guy that couldn't speak or couldn't read, and yet he was living a life for Christ that saw many, 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 many people come to Christ. He couldn't read, but he would get people to read the Bible to him. He got saved by listening to cassettes, and God spoke to him through that. There's no excuse that we cannot become better at our craft. He dedicated his life to Jesus and immersed himself in his calling. And I might say this wrong, but this is one of the stories that really, really spoke to me. Son-in-law, Nahaksim, he was Cree. So he was talking to Pastor Danny. I want to see more souls saved. Get me out of here. Call the lawyers. I need to do one last meeting. We need more souls. Get me out of here. He was 93 years old. He was in the hospital and wanted everything to get out and see more people get saved. He didn't care that he was sick. He didn't care any of that stuff. He wanted more souls. And that's the kind of thing that he taught to Anita, to Alex, to Beatrice. It's amazing to see where they get their faith. I now understand Beatrice better because of her faith coming from her dad. Her dad was powerful. I also get to see it in his grandchildren, Alex and Anita, who play on the worship team here. They wrote a song for their grandpa that made me cry. It was powerful. They wrote it in a day because they loved him. But Anita also wrote a poem, and I'm going to read it to you, because this is who Ernest Hunter was. There are many words that can be used to describe Ernest Hunter, and here are just a few. A son, a brother, a father, a Muslim, a husband, a friend, a fighter, a survivor, a warrior. But everyone knows him as this: an evangelist, a man of great faith, a man who fought the good fight and finished the race, a man with a heart for Alaska and all those not saved, full of the spirit, full of passion, and never ashamed. Wherever he went, he spread the good news, telling young and old that Jesus is the way. Get saved, he'd exclaim in a loud shout. Then, speaking in tongues, he'd praise the Lord's name. Even until his very last days, he said, I'm going to have meetings again one last time. His passion for the Lord truly had no end, just like our love for him. Although earth has lost a great minister and friend, heaven has gained once again. So we will carry on your memory until we meet again. So I didn't know Ernest very well. I got to get him coffee a few times. He had come to the church. But I know his daughter much better now from the testimonies of his children. I understand her passion for Jesus and for Christians. His death reignited my passion to immerse myself again in my calling, in what God has asked me to do. Scripture tells us we've all been called to be ministers, to be passionate disciples, learner followers of Jesus. Are you seeking answers for the questions you have? Or are you just content where you're at? When it comes to Christian life, it's tempting to feel that we have status. We're good, we're comfortable. We know what to expect from preaching. We have pertinent passages memorized. Nobody ever asked what 1 John 1:5 is. We can feel a sense of entitlement that's dangerous. We can sometimes think we're good right where we're at. Like professional athletes, musicians, artists, like Paul, like Ernest. We need to always be immersing ourselves in God and His Word. God has called us to be a disciple and to never give up and to keep fighting to the very end. And when I was writing this, I had this really cool, like, epiphany of what it's going to be like when we get to heaven. And I saw it like the Olympics. Ernest served God for 61 years. And I think that's what happened to him when he got to heaven. He was crowned with the gold medal. Say, good job, well done, good and faithful servant. You fought the good fight, and you finished the race. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We thank you for everything that you've done here today. Bless the rest of our day. In Jesus' name, amen.